Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Horrible Horror, where we watch the worst of the horror movies out there so you don't have to. Movies that are so bad, they're scary. I am Marshall Hampton, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Aaron Southworth. So, Aaron, how are you doing on this Saturday afternoon?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Glad to hear
that. I don't
have
anything clever to say.
All right, for today's movie, if you saw on our Facebook page, but is a movie called The Wickeds. Now, this gem of a movie, if that's what you even want to call it, can be found on Netflix. It is certainly an independent movie. And I do want to say, a lot of the movies we will be doing probably are mostly going to be independent movies. And I don't necessarily want like ripping on independent movies, because they are people just trying to get, you know, do their art, get out there and do it. But independent movies can be done well. And we've seen good independent movies.
Yes, we have.
But this is not one of them.
No, it is not. In fact, calling it an independent movie is an insult to independent movies.
Yes. Today, like I said, it was made on Netflix back in 2005. And it was released on the 4th of July in 2005. And to me, that's just what a shitty birthday gift for America that this movie made.
It's a turd of a gift, right?
It is a turd of the gift. And unfortunately, it cannot be returned or exchanged. Now, the movie was written by a name of David Zarkorski and directed by John Poague, or Pogue. I'm not really quite sure how to pronounce it.
Probably Pogue. Poague. I haven't heard of any people name it Poague before.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, this little gem of a movie does have a very special cast member, if you will. A very surprisingly famous person is actually in this movie.
Probably someone everyone out there knows.
You might not have seen his work.
If you have, I recommend it.
But it does star the man, the myth, the legend, the hedgehog himself, Mr. Ron Jeremy. He plays Gus, who is one of the grave robbers in this movie. But just surprisingly, just to see a movie with Ron Jeremy at this low quality is just kind of icing on the cake. Now, kind of a question for you is, when you combine zombies, vampires, ghosts, and the porn star, put it in a blender, mix it all together, out pops this crap heap called The Wickeds. it's so bad. It's hard to even just get into this thing.
Well, we're going to go ahead and do that right now.
So the premise of the movie is that this group of teenagers or college kids, I'm guessing the more college kids, they go to this supposedly haunted house where a film crew is shooting a direct-to-DVD movie. And so that's their thing. Like, we're going to go on a weekend, we're going to go see this movie set. And they're all geared up about it. And that's basically where the movie starts.
And I like the little trick they're using. Oh, it's a straight-to-DVD horror movie, so they can kind of get away with the shitty quality that they have going on.
Yeah. This movie set, we'll get into more later, but it doesn't even look like it should be directed DVD. It looks like movies like teenagers make with their old VHS camcorder and Halloween props.
Something we shot like in the mid-90s?
Yeah, like when we were like 12, 13 years old. That's how bad this supposed movie set actually looks. Some of the cast, I'll touch on the cast members here. Because surprisingly, some of these people actually went on to do a few things and shows that are actually well known. They've done an episode of a few things here or there, but they're people no one's really ever heard of. Like the guy who plays Jake in this movie, he's credited in this movie as Matthias Alvarez. No, I'm sorry, he's Justin Alvarez in this movie, but in everything else, he is Matthias Alvarez.
And Matthias sounds cooler.
Yeah. But he's done episodes of The Desperate Housewives, Ugly Betty, CSI Miami, and the show Castle, which are all big, pretty well-known shows.
Right.
Then you have Kelly Sue Roth, who she was apparently a former Baltimore Ravens cheerleader, and she did another movie called The Inn back in 2004, which came out before this one.
Stacey Keibler, former Baltimore Ravens cheerleader as well.
Yeah. Too bad Kelly could not follow suit in Stacey's footsteps.
Yeah.
Then you have the guy by the name of Matt Canyon. He actually has a very long list of credits that I found on IMDb. Again, some well-known stuff, but at least probably have everybody the most work compiled, like whether it's good or bad. And then a girl by the name of Gabrielle Dennis, She also had, next to Mike Cannon, she probably had the most successful career. She was in episodes of Justified, which was a big hit. Blue Mountain State was a...
Right.
Ran for several seasons. And then a show called Wizards of Waverly Place. Never seen it, but I have heard of it.
Right.
So... She's actually gone to do a few things.
All right, we got it. We got the cast.
Yeah, let's move on. So the movie starts with the kids driving in this SUV, and they're going down some old backwater road somewhere. And Richard, the guy who's driving, sees another truck coming at him. And
is Richard Asian?
He looks Asian. And he probably, looks like there's probably some, got Asian some Asian there. In him.
Couldn't quite tell.
He's played by, I had it here, Danny Darter. Was the actor's name, and in the credits actually says introducing, so this is his debut, if you will. And so he's like, hey, let's play chicken with this other car coming down the road, which is an old truck. And so they do that, but and Jake's like, hey, no, don't do that, there's no room to swerve, and there's trees on the right and a cemetery on the left, or vice versa. But you can clearly see in the shot that there's just trees everywhere. There's no cemetery.
The maybe Asian Richard just blatantly says out loud, hey, who wants to play chicken? And yeah. floors it. And just yeah. he gets down and like he's ready to just take on this truck head on.
Yeah, he's getting down to business.
And it's very obvious who initiated this. So they're driving and whoosh, they just miss each other, just swerve, just miss out of the way. They stop the car, and Jake, who's sitting shotgun, goes, okay, that animal almost hit us. Let's go kick his ass. You assholes!
I thought the same thing. Richard, you guys are the ones that initiated this. You're the one started it, even though, and you were like just complaining about it, but you're blaming the other truck who's just innocently driving
logic,
along.
Logic just went right out the window, and this is the first three minutes of the movie, yeah. And I'm like, yep, I'm in for a long haul.
Yeah.
Just seeing that, it's like, let's go back and kick his ass. Ugh, God.
It's awful. The theme of this movie, Jake is supposed to, I guess, be the hard ass, the tough guy of this movie, but he's just not a very good hard ass at all. So speaking of that cemetery they're talking about, oh, it's right there, which you never see when they're driving around. All you see is trees. You finally see a cemetery when they pull up to the house. And the cemetery is right there. It's like the house's backyard or something is the cemetery.
It's like the gravedigger lived there or something.
Yeah, or it's ridiculous. It's right there, just a little cemetery, old cemetery.
It kind of gave me an idea of Night of the Living Dead, honestly. It kind of gave me that feel a little bit. You know, the house kind of close to the cemetery, but man, it was right on top of that cemetery.
Yeah, you can't build a house any closer to the cemetery than this one was. So they all get out of the car, and Kate and Julie, Kate is the one black girl in this movie, and Julie is
the
blonde
one
with horrible hair and horrible acting skills.
She did have horrible hair, I will say that.
They decided to stay with the car.
So is the black chick the Baltimore cheerleader? Baltimore Ravens cheerleader?
No. They won't get that.
Okay. I know.
The black girl is the one who actually did like Blue Mountain State. Oh, okay. And okay. She actually has a decent... And she did one like the Bring It On movies.
She was one of the better actresses in the movie.
So those two girls started to switch around. Everybody else goes in. And as soon as they open the doors, this beat down old house, after they break into it with a crowbar...
Very easily, by the way.
Yeah.
They're all excited, like, oh, check out this house. It's a set. It's a real set. Wow. Let's get in here. And they just kick the door in like it's made of, you know.
Yeah.
It's, like it's made of particle board, which it is.
Yeah, it pretty much is. So they go inside, and the house is just, it's a beat down, run down, abandoned house. But I guess it's supposed to be the movie crew has decorated this thing just atrociously. It's basically like they said, hey, get an 8-year-old kid. Hey, make this scary. Like when an 8-year-old, there's this awful Halloween props that you can basically buy at any like Walgreens or Kmart or any department store.
It looks like someone went to your basement storage, took out your Halloween toys and stuff you've compiled over the years, and just set them up around the house.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's a very good way. And then they spray paint like a pentagram on the wall, and there's fake cobwebs everywhere. It's childish. It's very, very childish.
I do like the Lazy Boy recliner with hands sitting.
Oh, the hands coming out.
The hands
from
coming
the
out from like coming out from the handrests. That was fun.
I kind of thought the same thing. Like if everything in this movie, that's kind of like the one thing I kind of like.
Yeah,
was that?
I really like that recliner in this horror movie. That's sweet.
Yes. So at this point, they cut to the scene in the cemetery, Gus and Billy. Now, Gus is the one, is the character played by Mr. Ron Jeremy himself.
This is where we get to the good stuff.
Yeah. And Billy is his, like, dippy sidekick. And they're
kind of like the hired muscle is like, duh, what do we do?
Yeah.
Kind of like that along those lines.
And so they're in the same, we see them in the middle of the day and they're digging up a grave.
Beautiful day.
It's gorgeous. And, Gus is basically saying that, you know, we're out here. Don't worry. There's nobody around for miles. Edward's probably like, well, except for the group of, you know, college kids are at the, you know, house 50 feet away from you, as we saw in the establishing shot. And their whole point of digging up this grave is that they're looking for an ancient amulet that's supposed to be, you know, worth a ton of money.
Worth more than you'd ever know.
Yeah. And so they dig up the grave and they get to the coffin and open it up. And inside is this dead guy who is dressed in like old 1800s type fashion.
No, he looks like a shitty Dracula.
Yeah, a very
he
shitty
looks
Dracula.
Like a,
they just
like,
painted his face gray. And
he looks like someone went to Johnny Brock's, bought a Dracula outfit, painted his. He committed with the hair. I'll say
he's
that.
He's got ring around the head.
Yeah.
He's got the. And
he's a pretty young guy, you know, he's got a ring around the hair, but it's completely white face makeup.
Yeah.
Circles around the eye. Looks pretty basic.
Yeah, very basic. And so he's wearing an amulet, which is this gaudy, giant
hunk of plastic.
Yeah, it's really is just a hunk of plastic. It's a plastic moth, really. It looks like a plastic moth and with like a giant fake red
ruby.
Gem, some kind of gem in it, but the thing looks like you could have bought it at any dollar store. It's huge and just an eyesore. And so as Billy goes to rip the amulet off, the body comes to life. The eyes open, and he bites Billy on the arm, and Billy starts freaking out. But good old Gus, you know, good old Hedgehog Roger, he's just acting like it's totally normal. He's like, "Don't be a pussy.
Give me the amulet. Just
give me the
come
amulet.
On, rub it off."
He calls Billy a wimp, and he's not affected at all by a corpse coming back to life and biting his partner on the arm.
Not at all concerned with probably the most significant supernatural event that's ever happened in human history.
Yeah, corpse coming back to life.
Not concerned about this at all.
It's just like just another day, you know, in the park for him, and. So at this point, we start seeing shots of various zombies coming out of the graves. And so now, you know, the shit's supposed to start. And they do another hard cut to the kids back of the house. And I'll take this because this is going to be an ongoing theme, I'm sure. But the editing in this movie is just so bad.
Atrocious.
It's so bad.
Continuity thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's awful. So they're back of the house, and we see this Dylan, who is... He was the one who had the idea to come in at first, but he's like supposedly the horror buff of the group. And we see him going around looking at the props, and he comes up to like this crossed swords behind a shield on a wall, and he rips the shield and swords off, and he starts playing with the sword, and he's acting like it's the coolest thing ever. He's like waving around, but it's like a $2 plastic sword.
He's kind of the stoner character without any weed. You know, it's like he's just doofy, kind of goon.
He's a man child.
Right, like they just, it would explain his behavior if they stuck a bong in his hand, but they just didn't have the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are they hanging out with a retard? But I just wish they would have done that. I just wish they would have been like, here, carry this around. This will help explain your behavior.
That's
not instead of you're just some like weirdo autistic freak.
That is a great. That's a great point. So during all this, you get a scene of Alyssa, who is played by the former cheerleader, and a guy named Bailey. They start going up. They run up the stairs to start making out. And as you run, you get a little upskirt action from Alyssa. But
lots of panty shots. Panty shots galore.
Panty shots from Alyssa in this movie.
And kind of like dirty panty shots. Like he's putting fingers in there. He's getting pretty freaky. I'm like, okay, this is going somewhere. Here we go.
Yeah. But you'll be sorely disappointed if you expect anything out of this movie, because the sex scene, and I use the term sex scene very loosely, is the worst attempt of a sex scene I've ever seen in a movie. It's more like a high school, junior high makeout session that lasts nearly half the movie.
It was such a tease. It was very high school, very junior high. Because it was such a tease.
Yeah.
Like, I think I got more erotic pleasure watching Kathy Bates and about Schmidt getting into the hot tub than I did watching this. Because it just kept, and not only did it just keep going on and on with nothing really happening, mm-hmm. but then different shots.
Yeah, I know where you're coming at. There, like you said, the editing's bad, and we'll come touch back on this, I'm sure, later, but there are shots throughout this whole scene, which, like I said, lasts a good probably 30 minutes on and off of them where there's shirts on, shirts off, and then they're back on again. It's
pants on, messed pants on. Off.
Yeah. And so now they cut back downstairs. Jake is staying there. He's looking into this. He's holding this little handheld mirror with a blood handprint on it. But he is staring into this mirror, like studying. And I don't understand why.
He's just a good looking man.
I guess maybe he's obsessed with himself. he's just staring into this mirror, and he gets, you know, somebody tries to scare him from behind. Pretty lame. And another, so at this point, they cut back to Gus and Billy in the graveyard walking. You know, they're walking, they have their amulet. And Gus blames the corpse biting Billy on rigor mortis.
Yes.
Which.
What have you saw, Billy? You saw it bite me? He's like, you know, rigor mortis.
Yeah, he's like, oh, and Billy counters back, rigatui.
He goes, that wasn't rigatui.
It's awful. And from what I said, rigor mortis.
I kind of like that. I thought that was funny.
Now, you're more the you're kind of the medical expert here.
I am a nurse. So, for those of you who don't know, I am a nurse.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Rigor mortis is when the body hardens up and kind of freezes and kind of locks up.
Yeah.
It's not when, you know, they kind of spontaneously sit up and bite people.
Well,
right?
The biting, no. But there has been cases that when rigor mortis does start to set in, the body can sit up. So it's just the body stiffening in different ways. It can just start to rise. It's kind of interesting how it works. And you have to break their backs and break their bones to get them back into a supine or laying down position.
Well, that is a cheery sentiment.
Yes.
But, well, so
but biting,
technically,
no.
Okay, so there is a somewhat small window.
But this
guy has
been in the ground.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's
rigor
no.
Mortis, I mean, that sets in like pretty, not like after hundreds of years of being dead.
Well, the guy looked pretty damn good after 100 years.
That is true. Yeah. At this point, so zombies are coming out. They start attacking Gus and Billy, and cue in the worst soundtracks.
Cue the butt rock.
Yeah, or as that translates to the worst heavy metal / death metal music. Music tracks.
I like metal. I like, but it's.
And then some guy going. So it's awful music, and it's littered throughout this crap fest of a movie. And as you said, you know, music is supposed to help build the scene, kind of just raise it to another level. But the music doesn't balance out with what's being shot. It's too loud, too intense, too fast for the shitty action.
For seeing fat Ron Jeremy jog through a cemetery fighting zombies.
Yes. And during this zombie chasing when they're running, I noticed that...
And man, he is dialing it in.
Yeah. One of the tombstones is actually blurred
out. Blurred out.
And so even the dead people don't want to be in this movie. They have no association with it. Blur my tombstone out of this crappy thing. And then there's an odd shot of some female in some old, like, fancy white dress. And she just comes up to a grave, lays down on, and starts culling up to a gravestone.
Let's make sure that we... Okay, so Ron Jeremy and Billy are running through the cemetery, running away from zombies.
Yes.
And zombies are coming around. And some of these zombies are like... They look like they're wearing prom dresses.
Yeah.
Or,
wedding,
you know,
dress. There's a few in a wedding dress.
Yeah,
there's
like,
the one lady we said that called the Abe Lincoln zombie.
I don't know who gets buried in a wedding dress, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they're dressed like someone went on a shopping spree at a thrift store and just bought clothes.
Right.
Get, you know,
totally.
Which I understand, but at the same time.
I just find it weird, like, the zombies in this movie have the weirdest behavior for zombies. Like, I've never seen zombies just curl up on a gravestone and, like, holding. Just
like
lay
she missed.
Up on
yeah, that was really strange.
It's
that was
so odd.
That one was weird. I mean, everything else was either for comedic value or entertainment. But that one was just kind of, is this supposed to be a touching moment?
Yeah. So as we're finding a way out, Billy comes up across the tie-dyed shirt zombie. He's wearing a tie-dyed shirt, and Billy takes the shovel he has and just Mark McGuire's this guy's head off. Head goes flying off. But the blood effect here is so pathetic. It looks like somebody just took like one of those red ketchup bottles you found at a restaurant and just gives it a really hard squeeze, and just a single line of splurts up out of the remaining torso.
It's pretty sweet.
It's a really bad. The effects are awful in this movie. And continue on with the scene, you get, and then because the editing's so bad, you get another hard cut to what I first thought was just a random shot, but you get the random shot of the totally naked girl zombie walking around, and I'm not talking about just boobs here. I mean, she went full frontal for this thing.
Yeah, not one stitch of clothing.
No. And
naked as the day she was born.
And as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, that poor girl. Like, I felt so bad for her to be naked in this movie.
And they covered that girl in dirt. I mean, they covered her. She's just covered in dirt.
Yeah,
like,
she got blood all over her.
Oh, man, she just looks a mess.
And I just, all I could think was, I wonder how much she got paid to be naked in this crappy movie.
Either she lost a bet to Ron
or
Jeremy.
Maybe she lost a bet.
This is the bet. Either you sleep with Ron Jeremy or you're one of our naked zombies. She's like, naked zombie. Totally.
So Billy, all you see is Billy run up. He knocks her over and he runs off. And again, I know we're taking a while on this movie, but there's so many awful zombies that I can't stop talking about. Billy comes across a kid zombie who's dressed in his Little League baseball outfit.
Kid looks like he's got cancer, too.
That's exactly like, racist. Oh, no. So like, he's got leukemia or he died of cancer. He's like a 12-year-old kid, but he's completely bald. And he's carrying around a baseball bat wearing his Little League uniform.
Spikes and everything.
Yeah, and his cleats. And so after Billy, he has like a sword fight with this kid. Kid's bat and Billy's shovel. They have like this really quick little like sword fight with awful sound effects.
And then, wa-ching, wa-ching, yeah. And they repeat, wa-ching.
Yeah. Ugh. Billy gets the baseball, clubs this kid down, and the fastest recovery of any zombie, the kid just hops up like nothing happened, picks up his bat, and like he's stepping to the batter's box, starts taking the bat and like knocking dirt off his cleats, and then just starts walking away.
I did like that.
You actually liked that?
Loved it.
I thought it was the most, oh, I couldn't get my head, but I just can't get my brain around this movie. So, and finally, at this point, the zombie, well, really, it's the vampire that bit Billy, rises from his grave. And you can plainly tell that this thing was shot in reverse shot in reverse. Because he just kind of floats up, but you can tell, like, really, when they shot, they just had the guy stay on the edge of the grave and fall backwards into it. And so we come back later, but so this is the vampire guy who's out in broad daylight now, by the way. So
yes,
vampire lore is just tossed right out the window.
And honestly, there's a lot of things that are just it's funny because they try to base a lot of this premise of the zombies and the vampires and things with logic, but then they throw it all out the window in certain scenes. But we'll get into that.
It's just threw the book away. Now at this point, we make another hard cut. Back to the makeout scene, which
hard
is still
cut.
Going on.
So we're going through zombie, fighting zombies
to like, the worst
soft, like I want like the softest core porn.
Yeah,
you've ever
seen. I wrote that down too. It sounds like really bad music from like a late night Cinemax like softcore movie,
right?
And so you got Alyssa and Bailey making on the bed, and she pulls out this bloody hand prop from underneath the pillow, and she says something, but there's no audio.
Yeah, you can't hear what she says.
You hear the music, but you can't hear what the actors are saying. And this happened several times throughout the movie. Like, they just lost all audio for the people. And then so at this point, Billy takes off his shirt, and he starts, like, dry humping her leg.
Yeah.
Which just looks really awkward.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, and this is another thing. Is like, this is the skin moment of the horror movie. And he gets naked first. She's got all of her clothes on, and he gets down to what looks like just his,
well, at first it's just his shirt off, and he's dropping it with his shirt. But well, this thing gets better. We're gonna come back to it as just.
We should not analyze this. We should not give this scene any more attention, other than the fact that clothes come off, clothes go on, clothes come off, clothes come on, and different positions, different things happen.
Yeah.
We can't go into it because it's just so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the time logic just it breaks the all laws of time and space, really, this scene does. So Julie and Kate, who are out by the car, they finally come into the house, and of course they get stupid, you know, prop scared by Jake and Richard, and says, this place is creepy, I want to leave. But the fact calling this place creepy is comical because it doesn't look creepy at all. It looks juvenile at best. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And once again, it cuts back to the makeout scene. And at this point, Bailey is, they're on the edge of the bed, and the girl is between his legs, and he's like behind her, kissing her. And Bailey's, he has his shirt and his pants off now, but he's wearing his cowboy boots.
Gotta keep those boots
on,
buddy.
So I'm guessing it's like he took his shirt and pants
cowboy
off,
up.
But then he put his cowboy boots back on. And it looks it just looks ridiculous.
All right, no more about that scene.
Okay, I can't guarantee that because it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. Kate goes upstairs. Dylan has run off, surprisingly, at this time. And Kate goes upstairs to find him. And during like this minute and a half, 2 minute scene of her going upstairs, she says, "Dylan, where are you? Come out," in some format 13 times. I counted because it was driving me insane. If I heard Dylan one more time, I was going to scream.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like Dylan, Dylan, Dylan over and over and over again. And so she finds a coffin upstairs in the attic and Dylan is underneath. He grabs his leg. Yeah, scares, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if they did that on purpose because 13 is
you know, I kind of thought that too, but I don't want to give the writer of this movie that much credit. But as Dylan is laying there, because a skeleton pops out of the coffin and he comes out from underneath and he's laying there or sitting there on the floor with the skeleton arm in his hand. And he says, "Woody," you know, he calls the thing Woody. He says, "Have you met Woody?" And he's like jerking the skeleton arm off. And which, even though I'm going to give myself a migraine or like an I said, aneurysm trying to analyze this movie.
Give him a bong.
Yeah, it really is. And so we cut back to Billy and Gus, and they're still running, just like the sex scene, they're still running through the cemetery, which at this point must be the world's largest cemetery for them to still be running through it for this long. And okay, at this point, the vampire that we saw earlier, he attacks Billy again, but upon further inspection, this vampire looks like a rodent. He looks like a rat man. I mean, he's got a little bit of like the traditional vampire fang on the canines, but they gave him like giant rat teeth on his two front teeth. Like he looked like seriously, like, all I saw was rat. Every time I saw this guy, I'm thinking rat. And so Gus comes up from behind, impales the vampire from behind with like a pickaxe or something.
Go Ron Jeremy, saves the day with a nice pickaxe.
And so he kind of like throws the vampire into a group of zombies that are by him. And I swear to God, you can hear the sound effect of like bowling pins falling down.
Yes.
Did you hear that too?
Yes.
Okay. It's ridiculous. It's off. What are these people thinking? Oh my God. So we're back in the house now and Kate is standing by the fireplace and Richard comes above like a friggin' hand puppet and Kate freaks out like it's the scariest thing in the world. These girls are scared of everything imaginable. That doesn't even look scary. That don't look real. It's a stupid hand puppet.
They are also victims of overacting.
Yeah, that is very true. At this point, Kate leaves. She goes back to the car. Julie follows. And at this point, they see Gus and Billy running up to the house from the cemetery. And, you know, they run back inside. And it's Gus is knocking on the window. Ron Jeremy's knocking on the window saying, "Hey, you know, let us in or can we get in?" And Kate, the genius blind, says, "Oh shit, we need to hide." And so apparently hiding for this genius group consists of standing still in a huddle while Julie just squats next to Jake holding his hand. They make no attempt to hide. They just stand there in front of the windows.
There is lots of that in this movie too.
And so finally Gus and Billy, they find a way into the basement.
They come into the basement. They're pounding on the door. Let it said, "Hey, we see people in there. Let it said, help, help, help." And they're like, "Well, we don't know who they are. Let's not let them in."
It could be the people from the movie. Yeah, or just
don't be an asshole and let them in. They're yelling, "Help, help, let us in."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, we don't know who they are. They could be anybody." And then they don't even have the decency to like at least crack the door and be like, "What's going on, dudes?"
Yeah.
One, they outnumber them by a bunch.
Yeah.
There's like seven.
Six of them?
Yeah,
like two?
Six people and two people. And you can just crack the door and be like, "What's going on, fellas? It sounds like you need help." You know? And no, but they're just standing there in plain sight. Yeah. You know, they're like, "We see people in there. Please let us in." And they won't do it. And then they go, Ron Jeremy and Billy go, "Fuck this. Let's go find another way in." And they do.
Yeah,
they
come in through the
cellar. They just go in through the back door.
And when they come in, you know, there's some like, "Who are you?" Blah, blah, blah. It's a traditional exchange. But Billy, you know, somebody asks what happens to Billy's hand, but he's technically, they keep seeing a hand, but you can clearly see he's bit on the wrist. He's got his wrist wrapped up. But he says, like, "Oh, I got bit by a vampire or something." He says it like it's no big deal. Like, it happens. Like, I stubbed my toe. Got bit by a vampire.
What a wacky day.
Yeah, what a wacky day. At this point, Richard, you know, is like, "I'm going to be hard ass. I'm going outside. I'm going to figure out what's going on." And Gus like, no, you're not. You're not going out there. And hard-ass Richard's like, no one tells me, orders me around. Not my parents, not my teachers, and not you, fat ass. Which is a big thing. They love calling Ron Jeremy fat in this movie.
They do. But, man, I got to tell you one thing. Just with, since Ron Jeremy gets introduced to this group, Ron Jeremy dialing it in because he is not putting any emphasis or emotion or anything. He's really just like, don't go outside, kid. You're going to get killed.
And the sad thing about that is he's still the best actor.
I was just about to say, him dialing it in is so much better. Just so much acting quality is so much better than all these other people combined.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So as soon as Richard opens the door, he gets attacked by a zombie that rips like half his face off. And the entire group is just like, only Julie seems upset about this. She's like, oh my God. And everybody else is like, eh, whatever. There's no, like, nobody cares in this movie.
That's going to be one of those days again.
And Gus is like, well, your friend's dead. And he slams the door. And once again, like, the others are like, okay, he's dead. You know, move on. Like, I don't know what kind of group of friends these are, but man, they don't seem to care about each other.
So Richard's gone.
Yeah. Richard's gone.
Richard the maybe Asian is gone.
Yeah. And at this point, Dylan starts thinking, Jake and the other start thinking of Dylan, the horror buff guy.
The guy who should be a pothead.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you set this up. You know, this is awful. And then they look, until they look out the window and sees Richard's getting his throat eaten by a zombie.
Getting pretty torn apart.
Which I think later comes up. They still, for a while, think it's still all, you know, a hoax for a while. And at this point, all this is going on. I'm sorry. I got to do it. They cut back to the sex scene again.
Ah, yes.
And this time, the guy has his pants back on. We have another upshirt scout of Alyssa. She finally takes off her shirt, leaves the bra.
Which she's been teasing for, yeah. Like, the yeah.
And again, there's a couple of different like shots. Like, okay, in this position. Okay, now in this position. And then they switch positions again. But they cut away. Like, you know, it's a hard edit between each position change. And this is what we're talking about. Like, during each of those shots changes, Arco's or clothing are coming on and coming off. And, oh, it's so bad. But, okay, finally something starts happening. We get to the point where the girl's laying on her back with her legs hanging off the bed. And Bailey is on his knees in front of her. Excuse me. And he's kissing her thighs.
He's getting ready to go downtown.
Like, you know, yeah, it looks like that. And then
something's going to happen.
Woo! And the camera does a little pan over to the left. And we see the rodent vampire just staring like, just this goofy look on his face. And Bay just out of nowhere gets flung up against the wall. And the girl, through all this, with her boyfriend or whatever, getting thrown across the room, doesn't know. She's just laying there on the bed. And the vampire takes over from where Bailey was. He puts his head between her legs, and he's, like, going to do his thing. But suddenly her shirt is off again now, and she's squirming around, holding her boobs, giving a hand brawl. And so all we can assume is, like, the vampire is, like, going down on this chick. And right. She doesn't even notice. And so we cut back downstairs, and all of a sudden, finally, Alyssa comes running down the stairs, in her bra, holding her shirt, screaming they were attacked and that Bailey is dead. But yet we never checked the guy. There's no blood. She just, you know, it's awful. There's no continuity here. Jake says he's going up there, and Drew's like, no, don't. You can't go up there. You don't know what's up there. And he goes, yes, I do. My brother's up there. And they do this awkward, like, close-up headshot, like a really close-up of Jake's head. And he does this, like, what's supposed to be, I guess, a dramatic head turn. And he's like, he goes, board up the windows. I'm going to go find my brother. And it's just this really awkward shot. It's really bad.
And this is the first time we realize that they're brothers.
Yeah, the first time.
And this, we're like 20 minutes
into
the movie.
Yeah, a good 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the movie. At this, so he runs off.
Much like this podcast.
a zombie cop breaks into the window, bites Billy again at this point. But
zombie cop?
Yeah, he was a cop. He was a zombie cop.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, he was dressed like a cop. Dylan apparently went upstairs with Jake, which they only would see until you go up there. And they find Bailey with no pants on, just underwear and his cowboy boots. But in the scene before, he had his pants on.
Sure.
And Jake gets electrocuted when he touches Bailey.
Yeah, so this is what I got out of that. Was the vampire probably put a curse on the room after he left with the
He didn't even leave. You don't even see him leave.
He wasn't in the room. Right, he wasn't in the room. So he put there's no explanation. Yeah, they're trying to get out the door. They're like, okay, guys, let's go. We need to go back downstairs. Touch the door.
Shocked.
And there's no effects. All they do is go, ah!
They just make noises.
They just go, ah, and shake. There's no sound effect. There's no
visual.
It's just they just hold on to the door and go, ah! It shocked me, dude. And
so at this point, we're downstairs again, and Alyssa's telling her story of what happened. And what she describes is completely made up, or we're watching, like, she's in a completely different movie, because the story she tells is nothing what we as the audience
what
see.
They just witnessed.
I mean,
so,
every detail, everything she says is wrong. It's I don't know what happened to the writer here. If the writers, like, forgot what they wrote previously,
writer.
And totally
who needs
changed.
Those?
Yeah, who needs a writer apparently? But so back upstairs, the group upstairs decides to break the window to get out of this electrified room. And Bailey goes first, and he starts to slip on the slanted metal awning that's outside.
Oh.
And Jake grabs his hand and tries to pull him up. And they're trying way too hard to make this suspenseful and dramatic.
Hold on, bro. Don't
go. You're slipping. Oh, my God.
You got to work with me, bro. Come on. Yeah, I'm slipping. And
so Bailey falls in slow motion.
About six feet.
Onto a pile of hay. And they act like it's the opening scene from Cliffhanger. It's ridiculous. Don't let me go. And slow-mo falls onto a pile of hay, which is inexplicably happens to be there. So then Dylan slides out. Jake jumps out after him. And, of course, his fall is in slow motion. Then Dylan, supposedly pothead, goes down to the awning. And
he screams like a little girl on his way down. Yeah. He's a little bitch. He's like, ah!
And his fall is in super slow motion. But this time they shoot it from a different angle when he lands, and you can clearly see the mat bouncing underneath the hay when he lands. You can see the mat pop up.
And these guys are young, athletic dudes. They, like, hit it, spin, do like a little tumble, get up, and start running.
Running, yeah.
So this was not scary for them.
Yeah.
Maybe for, like, an 80-year-old man, this would be terrifying.
Break a hip.
Right.
But yeah. So they cut back inside. Billy's laying on the couch with his head on Alyssa's lap. And
sweet.
And the makeup they put on him looks like a child's Halloween costume.
Yes.
Just like, well, pretty much like everything else in this movie. But they just basically just painted.
So there is continuity.
So they basically just painted black around his eyes and put some dried up blood on him. And that was it. And here he goes into his life story of how he and Gus met. And It's bullshit. It's pretty boring. It doesn't really matter. But he kind of explains, like, well,
Gus is a father figure.
Yeah. Because he was going to turn him into the police, and he didn't, and they bonded over some bullshit.
They bonded over grave robbing.
So Gus is sitting in the recliner that we like so much with the hands sticking out, and he's saying, we should just wait it out till the creatures, I swear to God, they say, the creatures get enough sun, and they'll burn up or go back to their graves. And just blew my mind.
Have you ever heard that before?
No. When the hell do zombies burn in sunlight?
You know, it,
vampires get it. Zombies? What?
Well, there is one vampire running around. But yeah. he's defying vampire lore.
So, so apparently zombies burn from sunlight, or they get tired and say, well, time to go back dead. Or
man,
I got my fill of vitamin D for the day. Time to go.
Man, I'm wiped out. I got too much sun. Been trying to eat this Asian. I think he's Asian. I don't know. I just got to go home.
Yeah. So it's, oh, I got to take a breath here because this movie, oh, I'm going to have an aneurysm. Kate, this movie is filled with just people just for no apparent reason, just wandering off on their own for no reason.
Not telling anybody.
No, just gone. So Kate wanders off by herself, and this is where we finally see the ghost that I mentioned earlier. Some random ghost appears
out of nowhere, just on
the stairs, and walks on the stairs, walks through Kate, and she screams.
This scene takes about a minute.
Yeah, it goes real fast.
So Kate's wandering around looking and sees the top of the stairs and looks up the stairs, and there's a ghost. There's a white, spooky ghost standing there, and they lock eyes, and the ghost starts coming down the stairs.
Yeah,
coming down the stairs, and it's just long stare time. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And so it passes through Kate. She gives a little scream.
And she goes,
yeah. And Julie runs up to her with her awful hair and asks, what happened? She asks, what happened? And Kate says, I don't know. I felt like something went through me.
Well, yes, it did.
Yeah, no shit. You mean they're ghosts? They just watch for like 5 minutes walk down the stairs through you? No shit, you felt something go through you. So the guys that jumped out the window are back. They're banging on the door to get back in. And Gus says, we don't have to let them in. It could be those things for all we know. Yeah, or you could just look out the window that's right next to the door and just, you know,
sure.
See who and it is.
You can hear them saying, help, help, yep. Let us in.
Yep.
Again.
That's it. Just, there's a window right next to the door. And they're outside. They're yelling, come, they're coming, they're coming. You know, help us. They're after us. But you clearly see in the background, there's nothing there.
Nothing.
There's nothing around them at all. And suddenly, Bailey decides to make a torch. He grabs like a piece of wood.
I'm going to buy us some time.
Yeah. Tries to be the hero. He tries. There's this old weed, gas-powered weed whacker on the front porch. And he tries to, you know, pour gasoline from the canister, from the weed whacker, onto the rag of the torch. But you can clearly see no gasoline is coming out of this thing. It's bone dry. But
who cares by this point?
I know. It's bone dry, but apparently the thing just erupts in flame, like, you know, super easily. And he's out there swinging fire around these zombies. Jake goes out to help him, and he grabs a shovel from somewhere. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And he decapitates a zombie. And we get a low shot of the ground.
This is
the torso laying there and blood like supposed to be squirting out.
This is one of my favorite. This is one of those editing moments that are just beautiful. I don't know if you caught this. So he's running out to help Bailey, who's fighting off zombies with a torch.
Yes.
And he's starting to get surrounded. So Jake says, I'll help you, and runs out there with a shovel. Knocks a zombie over, and the camera pans up at him, and he's coming down with a shovel strike. And then they pan back to the zombie, and they show his foot kick the zombie's head off. So he's coming to kill him with the shovel, and the next thing you see, he's punting a head across the camera.
No, I think I missed that one.
That was the one I had to see three times to make sure I just wasn't seeing shit.
Yeah.
That was another editing marvel of the Wickeds.
But so, the shitty effects, the blood on this one, it's so watered down and so thin that it's barely even visible on camera. You have to strain your eyes to see this blood coming out. And it looks like one of those sprinkler effects. It's, you know, just kind of like spurting out like a sprinkler system, but it's, you can barely even see it. And you go back inside, and Alyssa's still sitting on the couch with no shirt. Even though the shirt's sitting on her lap, she's not wearing it. But I would think any logic, which I don't even know why I'm bringing logic into this movie anymore, would by now put her shirt back on. But
she got nice boobs.
I guess that's, they're trying to show them off, but you never see them except completely. And she starts saying, it's so cold in here. Well, maybe because you're not wearing a shirt, you're holding it in your hands. I'm actually getting angry at this movie. And at this point, everybody starts, you know, arming themselves. You know, Jake has the pickaxe that Gus had, and Bailey has a shovel. And Dylan decides to arm himself with the sword, which it's supposed to be real, but you can play, you know, the plastic sword that you can get at like a children's dollar shop or something like that is what he arms himself with. And so they're in the basement. They were going to go through the basement to get out the way Gus and them came in. So they're going to go through the basement.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got it. So, you know, they're fighting the zombies. Oh, let's go back to them outside.
Okay.
They're fighting outside, and then they start banging on the door. They let them back in before they go back downstairs. So now Bailey, Jake, and Dylan are back inside.
Yeah.
And he says, what? He's like, what? Come on, man. Why didn't you let us in? We didn't. And Jeremy says, we didn't know if you were one of those things. Zombies don't knock. And then they pan to a zombie going, knock, 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 like knocking at the window. And I actually thought that was kind of funny. So that was a pretty funny scene.
I don't know why it's made, but they do make a lot of like references to other classic horror movies and some of the dialogue. They reference like Chainsaw Massacre, Night of the Dead, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. They do make references to a lot of these things. So Julie tells Jake to go kill this thing in the basement. And Kate says that Dylan will be right behind him with the sword. And again, it's like the fake plastic sword. And they, you know, they fight some zombies in the basement, and but they never get anywhere. And so
that zombie fight in the basement is awful too.
It is really bad. Like, it's so bad. I didn't even know how to describe it in words, so I didn't type anything out for it, but it's, oh.
Editing again. Mm-hmm. Just a marvel of editing genius.
And throughout this whole movie, I don't know if you know this or not, but I know, but there are scenes where you can look in the background. I mean, you can see the boom mic at some side, oh, yeah. And you see the shadow of the boom mic on the walls. So Jake and Billy at this point decide to run for Gus's truck.
Ooh, I love this scene. Okay, so, you know, they go in the basement. They're like, okay, we can't get out through the basement. All right, what are we going to do? And Billy, who's dying on the couch, who's just covered in bites now, is like, you can take our truck. And they're like, what? You didn't tell us we had a truck? And Ron Jeremy's like, you didn't ask. Yeah. I mean, he's just this wonderful sleazebag who just does not want to be there.
Yeah.
But is getting paid.
Pretty much.
So they're like, okay, well, we're going to do this. And Jake goes to his brother Bailey.
Yes.
And says, give me your hand. And he doesn't
say. Yeah, I have this written down.
He doesn't say why or anything that he's going to do. He's like, okay. And he takes his hand and he smashes it and cuts it open. With no logic, no reasoning whatsoever.
The hand was already, he cut his hand on the window when they went out in the slow-mo window.
Okay,
so I think he bashes to try to make it bleed more.
But whatever, he bashes his hand, and then he takes the blood from his hand and puts a cross symbol on his forehead and on each of his jugulars, on the sides of the necks.
Yeah, and he does it for him, and Bailey and Jake.
And everyone's like, oh, gross, oh, he's using blood, and then... The stoner kid goes, why didn't you use a pen or a marker? And then Jake through the whole movie is like, I'm Jake. I talk like this. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this. And he's the one putting these crosses on, and he goes, it's more fun this way. Best line in the whole movie. I love it.
Jake he's got some dark.
It was
something in him.
It was creepy. It was dark. It was in the It was probably the best acted moment. I was like, ooh, this guy's fucked up. I love that. That was the best part.
Yeah. So at this point, you know, as soon as they open the door and they take off running, the long action scene starts. And once again, more, as you coined the term, butt music kicks in.
Cue the butt rock.
But yeah, so more death metal, heavy metal kicks in. And again, the audio, there's a scene back in the house with Alyssa talking to Kate, and they're talking to each other, but again, you don't hear what they're saying. There's nothing. So the audio comes out again, and for no explicit reason whatsoever, Alyssa decides to run after Jake and Billy. She just takes off on her own out into the zombie-infested area.
Jake and Bailey.
Yeah. Did I say?
Billy, but whatever.
Okay, Bailey. Yeah. Okay. So throughout this whole cemetery chase, I'm going to call it a chase, but we keep running between. It keeps cutting between Jake and Bailey running and close-ups of various zombies. But so I'm guessing they're trying to make it feel like the guys are surrounded by zombies and in danger. But in nearly every single shot of the guys running, there are no zombies anywhere near them. They're not even in the shot. It's just them running, and then just.
They do close shots, and then they do these really wide shots of them almost looking like Pac-Man running away from ghosts.
It kind of does.
It's like, run down the street, take a hard right, take a hard left, and the zombies are...
Yeah, you're kind of right. That's a great... Yeah, it is like kind of like a Pac-Man, like an overhead Pac-Man shot.
Yeah.
And so, at one point, Bailey is confronted by some zombies, and he suddenly decides to become, like, a pro wrestler, and he said somewhere in this movie they're talking about he hurt his ankle and can he do this? Oh, and then back right before we're doing the crossbody, like, my brother's the best defensive player in football in this state, and he'll run the defense and I'll run the offense.
Oh,
and I played through worse injuries than this, and it's awful acting and just so vague. So a guy with the supposedly bad ankle, he's running at full speed. He jump kicks one of the zombies, and then he clotheslines another.
And that's something I wrote in my notes also. Man, they're going clothesline crazy at this. They clothesline the shit out of each other, or out of zombies in this.
Yeah. And I was like, pretty good for a guy who has, like I said, supposed to be a twisted or sprained ankle.
Well, hey, he's playing the championship game with worse injuries.
So...
this is nothing.
We cut back to Alyssa, who is running, going, Bailey, Bailey, and she's whining and running, and her acting is awful. so bad. And so she gets tripped up by a zombie, and she gets up and she turns around and she runs right into Rodent Man Vampire. And Bailey comes out of nowhere, which technically they shouldn't even be anywhere near each other, but he comes over behind and tries to stab him with the axe or something, or not the axe, the pickaxe. And he gets caught, and he gets thrown down.
So the zombie grabs her by the neck. Bailey comes back. He grabs Bailey by the neck,
the vampire, but yeah.
Yeah, the vampire grabs Bailey by the neck. And so it looks like a pro wrestling moment in a way.
Yeah, like if you watch, like a double choke slam is about to happen or something. And so he throws Bailey down, and he hits his head on a tombstone.
A la Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, the brother gets it. Johnny, I think.
Yes,
Johnny.
Yes.
And the vampire sinks his teeth in and kills Elizabeth and finally kills this girl who at that point I was like, thank God she's dead.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't take any
one.
More
she's whiny. Two, she's a cock tease.
Yeah. And her acting is awful. And so another hard cut to Jake, who's fighting with zombie, and he just rips the zombie's head off. Like, you know,
oh yeah. That like fight with the zombie, he rips that fight with the zombie. That was a minute long zombie fight. That zombie comes out of the ground and must've been a wrestler in the past life because he wore Jake like a sweater. I mean, he tried to throw him off and the zombie's holding on to him. They're doing rolls. I mean, like
double leg takedowns,
like legitimate wrestling. And like, that zombie was on him with like, kept the pressure up.
Yeah. But Jake gets him like a headlock and just pops his head off like a, you know, pulling a grape off of, you know, a stem or something like mine, and just pops it off. And so Jake finally gets to the guest's truck, and of course the keys are missing. But where are the keys? Oh, well, they happen to be with the zombie who pops up out of the back seat and just dangles the keys in front of him like he's teased, like, you know, dingle, dingle. Like,
gets to the back, where are the keys? Where are the keys? The zombie pops up, he's like, jingle, jingle, jingle. Yeah. I mean, it's
so...
I kind of loved it. It's like... Wouldn't you say, sweet, thanks, take him, kill the zombie, drive the truck.
No, so he hops out of the truck.
No, he's like, nope, I'm out of here.
And he takes off running, and he comes across Bailey being eaten.
Yeah, Bailey, who you kind of got the idea he got pushed down, hit his head on the
tombstone.
The tombstone, thank you. And you're thinking, okay, he just got knocked out of the fight. Nope, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Not only is he dead, he's in pieces.
Yeah, they like ripped a leg off and an arm, and they're eating him. So this sends Jake into a blinding, killing rage. He takes the pickaxe and he just starts throwing down. Like, he slammed the pickaxe down and chopping away.
And the same sound effect over and over.
Yeah. And really bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
And the shot is seriously trying to get off serious because it kind of slows it down and kind of like superimposes like one shot of Jake slamming the pickaxe down with another shot, and it's trying to get all serious, but they ruin it with more the shitty special effects because obviously the bodies are on the ground, and which is where the camera perspective is. So we're supposed to be like on the ground looking up at him, but the blood is flying in from the right side of the screen. Like,
right.
Somebody's just standing right next to Jake, just squirting like a bottle of blood.
Someone's got a bottle, just going.
Yeah, and it's coming at like a 90-degree angle from the screen instead of up. So after Jake's rage, we're back at the house, and Dylan is going into the story of the house's history. Like, oh, it's haunted by this guy who killed his wife.
Oh,
and,
yeah, we get that.
And then the next people own it. He shot his family and shot himself, and so it's, you know, haunted and all this stuff.
We get the history of the house,
which
yeah.
at this point makes no sense.
What's the point?
We've seen one ghost. It's not been a part of the plot at all. It's just, I guess, they had to fill some time. And so Billy finally dies at this point. He's dead. He dies from his vampire bites or whatever. And Jake comes back to the house, and Gus goes into the story of the amulet. Like, well, I think this might be our fault or the amulet because we stole this cursed amulet. And at this point we learn the vampire actually has a name, and he was a German priest of some cult. And I'm just like, damn Germans.
So you know
who's
about these ones? The Germans.
The Germans. Fucking Germans.
We say that with all due respect to our German listeners out there.
I am mostly German. So at this point, now we're coming to the crescendo, and zombies start breaking in to the, you know, like Night of the Living Dead style. They're coming in through the windows and the door.
It's the end. Here they come.
Yeah. Billy springs back to life as a vampire this time, and he attacks Gus.
Oh, well, Billy did have a death scene.
He did have a death
scene. He had a death scene.
With some Alka-Seltzer tablets in his mouth.
Yes, and it was pretty funny because the blonde girl, what's her name again?
Julie.
Who is seems to be the bleeding heart liberal type in the group. Billy's quiet, and he's talking about how then he's just like, out of nowhere, he's like, oh, it hurts so bad. And she's like, get over it, buddy. You know, like what a bitch. It's like, man up, you're dying. Quit being such a pussy.
This is the one time we see Gus actually have heart. He's like, yeah, hold him down. You know, it's, you know, trying to help. But, you know, he dies. And he comes, you know, during the zombie break-in, he comes back to life and attacks Gus. And he kind of throws Gus down.
As a vampire. This is one of my favorite scenes.
And it's favorite as in the worst scene, because he goes in to bite Ron Jeremy's neck. But the camera angle, the camera work is so bad that you can clearly see Billy's mouth is like a good 6 inches away from Ron Jeremy's neck. And Ron Jeremy's screaming like, ah, bite, you know.
Listen to what you just said. If you were the actor who was told, okay, this is the scene, you have to get in, put your mouth on Ron fucking Hedgehog Jeremy's neck, who has been in over 2,200 pornography films.
Yeah.
And you had to sink your teeth into him.
Well, you're not really.
I would not come anywhere near possibly drawing any bodily fluids off of that man.
Well, first of all, you're not really going to bite the guy in the neck. And second, you know, I'm sure, yeah, he's not really going to do it, but you could shoot it in a better, make sure you get a better camera angle, or, you know, look back and say, oh, we need to reshoot this, because you can clearly see you could almost put like a whole other arm in between them or something. It's awful.
I like it that way.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
Because I feel the sympathy of the guy who plays Billy. No, there's no way you could pay me enough to wrap my lips around that bastard's neck.
Oh my God, why are we analyzing this? You're not actually going to do it, but you can make it look better. So now Gus is dead, and Jake is just in the room punching zombies left and right,
just punching them like he's Mike Tyson's punch-out going on there.
And the girls, you hear them off-screen screaming, but you don't see them. They're just, they're just standing around. And once again, Dylan runs out the door. He just like, fuck you guys, I'm out. He just takes off running. Kate suddenly gets possessed out of nowhere. She just goes into this weird possessed.
The gal who got the ghost walk through.
Yeah, the black girl. She just out of nowhere just stands with like big eyes. She's like in some weird possessed
daze. Huge eyes. My God.
And that girl pop out of her mask. Julie puts on this god-awful rubber prop mask and just stands there. So I guess
she's faking.
And apparently she fools a zombie because zombie's like right in her face and she just stands with this stupid mask on. And zombie's like, okay.
She's faking out the zombie like, hey, look, I'm one of you. And the zombie looks at her and like, okay, yeah, you're cool. Don't worry. I'm not going to eat you.
Yeah,
and so, walks away. But, you know, this works. The mask works. So what does she do?
She rips it off. She rips it off. And she grabs Jake and they try to run off. Possessed Kate is starting. She starts wandering off. She's going up the stairs. Zombies are ripping apart Gus's body, and they rip off his head.
Poor Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, poor Ron Jeremy.
The best actor in the movie.
Yeah. So Kate's upstairs, and she falls down for no reason. She's possessed, then she's unpossessed. She falls down. She gets up. She's stagnant, and she's possessed again. And then she returns to normal. She keeps going in and out of this possessed phase or possession or whatever. She gets bit by a zombie in the attic, but I really hope you pick up on this. But when she gets bit, they show a close up of her arm, and when she's bit, if you watch carefully, there's already blood on her arm before she gets bit, and the arm they show getting bit is a white girl's arm, and she's black.
She's pretty dark black too. Yeah, she's definitely black.
She's black. And they show a close up of a white arm getting bit when it's supposed to be her.
I missed it. I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, and then as soon as she gets bit, she's possessed again and just wanders off.
Sure, because that's
And this cuts back to Dylan in the cemetery, and he meets up with a now undead Alyssa, who they're trying to make her look all sexy because her shirt's all ripped up and she's got like blood running down her neck.
Ripped up strategically.
Yeah, strategic rips. And her hair is like
nice and big. Kind of 80s big, you know, but sexy 80s big. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And so she starts
seducing. But she's got a shit ton of blood all over her neck.
It's like running down her neck and down her boob. And so she starts trying to seduce Dylan and like kiss him and all this stuff. And it's a weird looking kiss. And then, but Dylan suddenly falls over and falls on the ground. And once again, the sound goes out again because Kate is like, or not Kate, Alyssa is like mounting him.
She's dry humping him for a good 30 seconds
or so. And she's, you can see she's talking.
She's trying to say something.
But it does, you can't hear it, but not that really matters anymore at this point. What is she saying? Dylan again makes a quote. He's like, and he calls her Living Dead Girl, which is an obvious reference to the White Zombie or Rob Zombie song, yeah. Living Dead Girl. And so she mounts him. So Dylan tosses her off and stumbles away. And it cuts back to Kate in her upstairs. And she sees him and she starts freaking out because she sees herself in the mirror, but she's like bleeding from the eyes.
She sees herself kind of as a zombie bleeding from the eyes. And there's the vampire.
Yeah, the vampire who we learned through Ron Jeremy's monologue about the Amulet. His name is Tufel or something like that. T-E-U-F-E-L or Tufel or something like that. And he just pops up behind her and it's another hard cut, you know. So
this is a zombie who can have he can tolerate sunlight.
Well, he's the vampire.
Oh, I'm sorry, vampire. That's what I meant to say. He's a vampire who can tolerate sunlight. He also sheds a reflection in a mirror, apparently. What else does he defy? I don't know. Any standards of being cool? I don't know. Vampires are supposed to be cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, this guy is not.
Another hard cut to Dylan who gets... He basically died. He gets pulled into a grave by a zombie and he dies. That's it. Dylan's done.
Oh, the Dylan scene... Let's go a little bit more into that. So he dies and he's backing away, looking very panicked and very worried. But what is he backing away from? Absolutely nothing.
That's true.
There is nothing in the shot, nothing in the frame, no indication he's in any danger, but he just is walking backwards towards this hole.
Yeah, the edge of a grave, and he gets I think it was a girl zombie or something, but he pulls him in, he falls in, and that's it. You don't even see him out. You just get pulled into the grave. So another hard cut back to Julie and Jake. They're hiding in the house somewhere. But
hard cut.
They are really shitty at hiding because Jake's legs are sticking out from under the ladder they're hiding under.
This is a great scene. So they're hiding and Julie says, okay, we need to make a run for it. We need to make a run. He's like, no, we're staying here. Jake's like, we're staying put. And she goes, look, either we run or we hide. Either way, we're going to die.
Yeah. Either way, we're dead.
So it's like, well, fuck.
Might as well just pop a beer open and wait for that.
Let's just go at it. Do something. You know, do something crazy. Yeah. Let's go wild.
The zombie comes up from behind because you obviously see Jake's legs sticking out, grabs him. Julie runs off by herself. And she's back in the living room, and she backs into Vampire Billy. And Jake comes out from nowhere. We don't really see him fight with the zombie that pulled him out from under the ladder, but Jake comes to save her. They both get tossed around, you know, fighting off the zombie. Jake stabs Billy with a prop wooden stake. Prop wooden stake, so it's probably plastic or something.
But it works.
Yeah. So Billy, a vampire, is dead. They run outside. About to get into the truck or SUV, and then Julie decides to go back into the house for Kate.
Oh, this is great. Oh, God.
So at this point, Jake's like, oh, Julie, wait. He starts running after her, and out of nowhere, here comes Zombie Richard, who we haven't seen at all.
The maybe Asian.
Yeah, the maybe. Hits him with a tree branch, and apparently Richard is the only zombie in this movie that can talk.
And talk and use talk. Weapons. And, yeah.
And so... Back inside, Kate goes in, and now the house is super clean. Not, like, clean, but, like, it's still got the paint on the wall and the decorations are there, but, like, all the bodies, all the blood are gone. It's just, like, nothing ever happened. And Julie hears Kate calling for help. Then it cuts back to Jake and Richard. They're outside having this, like, street fighter-like fight. I mean, Jake is like unleashes this like this super uppercut, which might have been like, you know, Ryu's like, whatever that dragon uppercut, whatever it was called.
Sharuken.
Sharuken, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
And Zombie Richard, who is the most athletic zombie in the history of cinema.
Oh, yeah.
He nips up right after getting this uppercut.
Very well.
Yeah. And they're fighting at it, and Richard's like, you know, join me in hell. It's not that bad. And, you know, like, being hey, dead is not that bad. You don't feel any pain.
I don't feel any pain. So you're thinking he's pretty invulnerable, but no, Jake just starts, he's like, screw this, and starts beating the shit out of him.
He basically impales him, sticks the tree branch through his stomach.
Which is not a way to kill a zombie, last time I checked.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel pain, why is he dies in it?
He's like, I feel pain all of a sudden. But
everything I was told is a lie. Hell isn't cool. Those jerks.
And once again, the shitty effects come in because you can tell, like, you know, they broke it. You know, the front half of the effect of the tree branch looks fine. But when you see the back of it, it looks like just like this like styrofoam piece they painted brown, and it's just kind of flopping around. Like it just like duct taped it to his shirt.
Yeah.
So now we're at back in the house, and Demon Kate attacks Julie.
Oh yeah, this is Kate after she's talking for Julie. Help me, Julie. Help me, Julie.
Yeah.
And then there's possessed Kate.
Possessed Demon Kate, I call her. And she attacks Julie, but somehow Julie touches her face. And Kate's face just, like, melts.
Holy shit. This scene.
It makes no sense, but her face just, like, melts and her eyes, like, so melt out. It's
possessed Kate comes after Julie. Her eyes very wide, yes. Very big. Julie reaches up, and this is the way I took it, grabbed her goddamn eyeballs and ripped them out of her head. Like, see, that's what I saw. Like, tore her eyes.
I didn't
eyes.
See anything being ripped out. I just saw her touch her head, and next thing you know, her face looked like it melted.
No, she tore that bitch's eyes out. Okay. And I say bitches with all due respect. I mean, holy God, that was awful. And then Kate starts screaming.
Yeah, she starts screaming.
Like,
she's
back to being normal Kate.
Yeah.
And she's screaming, and she's looking around trying to find things. It's like that scene in Kill Bill 2 where Daryl Hannah gets her one eye plucked out, and she's like, I can't see, oh God. She's reaching around. She's trying to do things. And I feel so bad for her. And she's the one black character. Yeah. And you always hear about the black character getting fucked over in the movies. Well, they get killed off or this or that. Well, this gal just got screwed hard. Not only is she the only black character, but she's like conscious and knows what's going on. And her best friend rips her fucking eyes out. Yeah. I mean, she got screwed hard.
Yeah, she falls down the stairs, or Julie falls down the stairs. But now, maybe this was just on my set, but to me, by this point in the movie itself starts looking like it was, like it's an old VHS tape, and that's been played too much.
Yes.
It's fucking like white static everywhere.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
What happened to YouTube? Okay.
Like, it started turning into like Grindhouse film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
It was really bad.
Like, I thought maybe it was this, like, because it started right when Kate was like, help me, Julie, help
yeah.
me. And I thought,
and I'm like, oh, but it got worse and worse.
But it just kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, I need to adjust the tracking on this. Like, wait, I'm not watching the VHS cassette. So Julie gets up, she smashes the amulet, and. She picks the amulet up out
so
of like, Ron Jeremy's
Jake
dead hand.
Jake is getting. Jake, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake. I don't know any of these people's names.
Yeah, you don't really need
Jake
to
is getting surrounded by zombies, and he's going, smash the amulet. Like, they had this opportunity for quite some time.
I think of the beginning of the movie.
There's no logic to this either. He just decides, you know what? Smash it. Let's see what happens. But I guess it's a Hail Mary kind of thing. So she's about to smash it, and here comes the vampire. He comes next to her and goes, I can't understand a damn thing you say.
Yeah, it's a really bad accent, but he says something like, don't, he's trying to convince her not to do it.
Give
like,
it to me, I'll make it all go away.
Yeah, I'll give it to me, damn it, I'll fix it.
He says something like, I'll make it all go away. And I'm thinking to myself, well, everyone's dead, it looks like we're about to die, I don't know if smashing this is going to work. Maybe I'll give it to him. Maybe what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah,
I'll die.
At this point,
you know, I'm already dead, so maybe I'll give it a shot. That's the way I thought about it.
So, but no, of course she doesn't. She smashes it, and you get staying true to the film, really shitty effect. You get an outside exterior shot of the house, and it's like flashing like the lights you see like this white flashing light coming out from like the windows and the cracks of the door.
And then they do like a PowerPoint star wipe.
Yeah. And Jake and Julie wake up laying on the floor. Jake is all bloody and the house is empty again. Like, again, like just
no bodies,
no bodies, no blood, just gone. Julie helps Jake out to the car who's limping and she's like, oh, everything will be okay. And they, and then Jake's got, you know, he's, his head's turned away from Julie. He's got looking out the window and they close in on Jake's face and he opens his eyes and they're red, you know, they're blood red. Like he's a zombie or a vampire or possessed now or something.
Cue the butt rock.
And yeah, exactly. Credits roll and cue the butt rock some more. And the credits, throughout the credits, I
didn't even watch the credits. I just turned
I'm using air quotes here for those who can't see because I use this term loosely, but they show gag reel stuff throughout the credits.
Oh, I missed this gem.
Yeah. Or,
I didn't see this.
It's awful. They're really bad. It's like they keep showing shots of Kelly Roth, Alyssa running up and down the stairs. So you get some more upskirt panty shots and people like kid zombies playing in the SUV. So I'm guessing it's like the director's kids just like, let's get a shot of the kids and for no reason. And it's awful, awful gag reel, which I use loosely. I did notice in the credits, the zombies are in the credits are listed as featured zombies and then the rest of the zombies. So apparently there are some zombies that were more important than other
Well,
ones.
The baseball kid zombie
baseball
was pretty awesome.
Baseball kid zombie. I didn't comment much on the Abe Lincoln zombie, which that was during the torch fight with Billy.
Yeah.
Or Bailey. So that's how the movie ends. So with the movie over, I'm still flushed. Like I feel like I elevated my blood pressure just talking about this thing, but there's a few things left to touch on here. That I did look up, when I was on IMDb, they have, this thing where they have plot keywords. So I guess you can type these in and find movies that relate to these words. And so I wrote these down because some of them are just a pleasure.
Okay.
So some were similar, like one movie set, Halloween, grave robber, animate object, which I'm not really sure what object in that movie was animated, or you know,
is it inanimate object?
No, it's
animated.
Animate object.
Well, that's weird.
And this one, I highlighted these, the ones I thought were really funny. Keyword: door. What person is out there saying, you know what, I want to watch a movie that has a door in it or features it. Let me
take
a door in.
Sure.
And then comma, amulet, vampire, shovel, coffin, bare-chested male was a keyword. Decapitation, cemetery, and zombie.
I know when, but I want to watch a bare-chested male, I'm going to tune into the Wickeds.
Yes. Yeah. The door one was my favorite. I just blew my mind.
Bare-chested is in B-A-R?
Yes.
Oh, not the B-E-A-R.
No, B-A-R-E.
Not bear. A good bear out there.
Yeah.
Huh? How about a bear chest?
Bear. Yeah. So, and this is a trick. I picked up on this. I don't know if you did, but apparently every male, all the group, like the main group, the male teenagers are all named after characters from 1990s Fox television shows.
No, why would I get that?
Yeah. Bailey, Party of Five. Jake, Richard, and Billy, Melrose Place, and Dylan, Beverly Hills, 90210.
Dear God. That's a really weird fact.
Yeah.
This is a little odd, and end I noticed about Jake's pants.
Oh, his pants.
Okay. Starting off in the movie, Jake's pants are normal pair of pants. As the movie goes along, he gets holes in his jeans that just become, they become more and more distressed as the day goes on. He gets huge holes in his knees. By the end of the movie, his knees are completely exposed.
I didn't notice that, but I will say maybe that's the one thing these filmmakers tried to
the one
to show like his fighting.
The
and
one piece of continuity
distress.
Was this guy's jeans through the movie. Or at first I thought, okay, but did he start the movie and go, you know what, guys? I didn't know I'd have to use my own jeans the whole time. Can I just change into what I used to mow the lawn in?
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's the same jeans. It's the same jeans the whole time. And at the beginning of the movie, they're a little distressed. You know, there's a little wear and tear in the jeans, but by the end, they're completely blown out, completely air conditioned.
So, one fact I did find on IMDb is apparently they had the budget for this movie. What they used. This movie cost? You want to take a guess at how much money they spent on this movie?
Probably because movies always cost more than I always think. I'm going to go $10,000.
Wow. You're going to be budget $50,000.
Holy shit.
And I'm thinking most of that went to Ron Jeremy's paycheck.
Yes. Yes.
I think they blew the entire budget on Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes. Well, may I jump in with speaking of Ron Jeremy.
Go ahead. I
looked up some interesting things about Ron Jeremy, considering he was the most interesting thing about this movie.
Yes, he really is.
So I looked up some Ron Jeremy facts. Did you know Ron Jeremy started as a special ed teacher before he became a porn star?
Huh, I did not know that.
Yes, he has a bachelor's in education, and he helped teach students with Down syndrome and even teen schizophrenia before he started his career in pornography.
Well, good on him.
Yeah, good for you. His father was a physicist.
Jeez.
And his mother was a book editor.
Comes from a good background there.
Yeah, yeah. Ron Jeremy was also in a Disney kids show called Bone Chillers. And this was Ron Jeremy, the porn star, mind you. He played a monster called Blisterface. So the problem was they didn't want to have Ron Jeremy, the porn star, on the right. credits, because that they imagine they get all kinds of calls from people, and
was it,
you know,
they changed it about like Ron Hyatt.
So what they did is they covered him very well in makeup, so you couldn't really see him, and they used his real name, which is Ronald Hyatt.
Yeah, I've seen him credit as Ron Hyatt before.
Yes, now it's funny because that's his actual middle name is Jeremy. He is Ronald Jeremy Hyatt, so he drops the Hyatt when he's Ron Jeremy, and interesting little thing too. Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah,
was actor. In that same show. The name of the show was Bone Chillers, the Disney show. And so Lindy Cardellini and Ron Jeremy have been in a piece of work together. Linda Cardellini, for those of you who don't know, is the gal from Freaks and Geeks.
She was in Grandma's Boy.
Yeah, and she's most recently in the Avengers 2 movie.
Oh, I see, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, well, I will not spoil
that for
you.
But I know she's been in, she did episodes of New Girl on Fox.
Right.
She's been in a lot of
Scooby-Doo.
Stuff.
She played Velma in Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Yeah.
I did find on Ron Jeremy's IMDb page, he's not credited in it, but apparently he is listed there as being in Ghostbusters, as an extra on Man Behind Barrier in Ghostbusters.
Which, I didn't see that one.
One of his favorite movies he did later was Sperm Busters.
Oh, wonderful. And but, I found this little piece about John Jeremy, that which you will love. And do you know where I'm going with this?
No, drop it on me.
Okay. He is a member of Tau Capital Epsilon.
Oh, yes. I do know that.
Okay. So he is a fellow brother of you.
He is an honorary member. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
He's also a talented piano player.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is just a talented, talented man.
He had a rap single on that stage.
Was not prepared for that.
He had a rap single called Freak of the Week, which stayed at 27 weeks on the Billboard's top 100 charts.
Wow.
Yeah, so I imagine it was played in porn and like in strip clubs quite a bit. He was consultant on Boogie Nights and also 9.5 Weeks.
Okay.
And this one, this is the last one I'll leave on you. This is my favorite one. He has a line of rum out.
Wow.
Called Ron de Jeremy. Now, Ron is Spanish for rum, so that way they kind of borrowed it.
Right.
And I figured, this is the way I was thinking of it, man. If he has a spiced version of rum, it is spiced with the tears of Caribbean teens to do scenes with Ron Jeremy.
Oh, no.
We might have to buy that rum. We might have to.
I won't lie. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look it up, but see where it's even available.
We're going to have to order that rum online and have it next time. Because right now I'm 4 beers deep in right now.
Yeah.
Next time we'll have to have the Ron de Jeremy.
The final note of this movie is I did look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, this movie might have the lowest score I have ever seen on Rotten Tomatoes of 5%.
Five percent.
And I did look up. So basically what the percentage means, it's the percentage of people who gave it 3.5 stars or higher, which makes me think, who the hell gave this movie 3.5 stars or higher? And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's the writer and the people that were in this movie, because I can't imagine anybody rating this thing any higher than a star, or Ron, even half a star.
Ron Jeremy fans. Fans of Ron de Jeremy Rum. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. So, with everything wrapped up, what would you... I mean, I'm assuming I'm going to know the answer here, but I'm going to say, would you suggest people watch this movie?
Absolutely.
Really? I was wrong, because I'm going to say no. Do not watch this movie. It's like, I love bad horror movies. That's why I do this. But this is, it's borderline even a movie. Like, they even call this a movie is almost insulting movies in general. It's, I can't even talk about it. I get so angry with this
compared
thing.
To what we did last week with Stitches. Stitches was a masterpiece.
It made Stitches look like Citizen Kane.
Right.
Last week. This movie is just garbage. Maybe the only reason I would say possibly watch this is for the Ron Jeremy's performance, because it's the only somewhat decent thing in this trash heap.
And it's not a good performance. It's him dialing it in. It's him just going, where's my paycheck? I came for the craft services table. You know, I came just because I was here. It's close to my house.
Yeah.
And he is dialing it in, and he still blows everyone else away. And all these other people went on to do better things, apparently, or had somewhat of a career.
So, I mean, they've done other things. I mean, this was 2005, and a lot of stuff they did was...
That was 10 years ago, yeah.
So it was later, but my God, it's...
You got to see it, guys.
I say no, Aaron says yes, so take it for what it will. You can find it on Netflix. Just... Wow, just be prepared for the level of shit that this movie delivers if you do decide to watch it. I will end this episode with saying a little announcement for the next episode is, since we did find this gem with Ron Jeremy, another movie I did find also stars Ron Jeremy. So we are going to do a two-part Ron Jeremy movie review. So this part one is this week's with the Wickeds. Next episode will be Night of the Dead, starring Ron Jeremy, and you can find that movie on Fright Picks app on Xbox
or their Fright Picks webpage.
They do have a website. Okay, yes. So Fright Picks website. So for any other thing else, any closing comments you got?
No, love the movie though. Love it.
I'm stumped at that. I did not think you would recommend it. all right, I'm Marshall Hampton.
I'm Aaron Southworth.
All right. Thank you for listening. As always, you can follow us on Facebook under Horrible Horror and on www.horriblehorrorpodcast.com. And we have on Twitter.
We have a Twitter handle,
@ So Bad It's Scary. Thanks for listening. We tune in for our next episode, and where we talk about Ron Jeremy and Night of the Dead.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hugs and kisses.
Take care, guys.